Welcome to the Grappling Discourse Podcast. Guys, I am super excited to announce a new project. I am starting a Patreon. So myself and Travis Thomas will be going 50-50 on this thing. You guys will get to see all of our training, comp stuff, mindset, techniques, all of it. And I'm really excited because I feel like a lot of people have instructionals out there. If you want to go learn an armbar, there's 50 different armbar instructionals, but we're going to really be talking about the training, how to train more intentionally. I feel like that's the biggest thing most people are missing, and I want to help you maximize your time on the mats. Whether you're a beginner or a black belt, I really think with some of these strategies, you are going to improve much faster on a month-to-month basis. And I've been really pleased with my competition class. I've seen the guys and gals that have been coming consistently. They are improving at a very, very fast rate. And they're starting to, I'm starting to see them when they train on their own on some of the other different classes, their training looks different. And I want to do that for you. I want people at your school to be like, what in the hell has turned into Jimmy? Jimmy is a completely different grappler than he was 6 months ago. And you can do that. When you listen to the best guys talk, they all talk about how you can be a completely different grappler in a year. Gordon Ryan talks about how he is a completely different grappler than that first and even second loss to Felipe Pena. And we saw that in his last match. And you guys know I'm obsessed with improvement, and I think I can help you improve. I've also had a bunch of you guys ask about certain techniques, whether it's the front headlock stuff or just when's my next instructional coming out. You really like the north-south. Well, $10 a month, you're going to get all of it, right? I'm going to teach you how to do anacondas, guillotines, how to chain all of that together. Just anything that has to do with jiu-jitsu and what me and Travis are doing, how we're improving our weaknesses, how we're studying film, all of it will be available on this Patreon for $10 a month. An absolute steal. It's the best $10 you could spend for yourself and for your getting better at jiu-jitsu. So let us help you. Guys, flow grappling is dying. They just are. And I know the last couple episodes, I've talked a lot about Craig Jones, ADCC. But we're going to talk about the big differences between flow and the UFC. Because the UFC is kicking flow's ass right now, in my opinion. It's not even close. In 5 years, I will be shocked if flow grappling is still a thing, the rate that it's going. They've just pissed off so many people, from the consumers to their own athletes. And the UFC is out for blood. They want to become the biggest grappling organization in the world. They're a billion-plus dollar company. They are going to win. Now, look, Flo started off poorly. And for years, Flo has done multiple shady business tactics that have, I don't want to say they've tricked the consumer, but at the same time, they just tried to only offer the consumer one choice. So if you wanted to just watch ADCC, where there's people that just, I don't care at all about gymnastics, but every 4 years, I'll watch some gymnastics for the Olympics. That's how a lot of people are with grappling. It's like, hey, I want to watch ADCC. I don't want to watch Gi World. I don't want to watch the Pan Ams. I don't want to watch these IBJJF events. I don't want to watch any of that. I just want to see, look, I got a weekend every 2 years that I watch the Olympics for our sport. Well, Flo tried to take advantage of that, and they started doing this with any of their big events where they would stop offering monthly memberships. And the monthly memberships, I want to say the first time I subscribed was maybe $25. That sounds about right. But they bumped it up to $30 a month, which, look, not bad. But the issue everybody has with Flo is when they cut that off and they just would offer yearly memberships around those big events. And so if you just wanted to watch one weekend, you would have to pay $150 yearly membership. And they got so many people to do it. Comes out, after the fact, you know, people start sharing like, look, guys, flow grappling is just one of the branches of flow. There's flow cheerleading, flow softball, flow wrestling, flow. There's like 10 to 15 different sports that flow is involved in. And if you sign up for one of those flow sports, you get access to all the others. So with your flow grappling account, you can go and watch flow wrestling. And so if you just signed up for flow wrestling instead of flow grappling, you could have paid the monthly membership and still gotten access to ADCC. But of course, they didn't tell anybody that. It just shows you how slimy the people at Flow are. Now, Flow's done a bunch of other things, from underpaying athletes to telling athletes one thing and then doing another. Flow, though, most recently has pissed off Craig Jones and the UFC. Now, the UFC is out for blood. The UFC wants to destroy Flow. Now, they've been in the grappling game for a long time, and people just do not believe me for whatever reason. So people are like, who's watching EBI on UFC Fight Pass? Like, I bet the numbers aren't very good. If you talk and if you know people high up in the UFC, Brandon just happens to work for the UFC, and you know, he knows the Fight Pass people very, very well. And he has told me for years, Eddie Bravo has told me as well, that EBI is one of their most watched all-time things on UFC Fight Pass. And when you take away outside of UFC events, the EBIs are doing better numbers than anything else they did. People loved EBI. It's one of the reasons they keep begging Eddie. They want him to do more and more shows. They would love for Eddie to do a show every couple of months. People love EBI. And I've had multiple people come into the gym that told me, like, look, I was a UFC fan, got UFC Fight Pass, started watching grappling, and they had watched all the EBIs before they ever started training jiu-jitsu. I've had multiple family members use UFC Fight Pass, and they've watched especially combat jiu-jitsu and just been really entertained by combat jiu-jitsu. I remember one time my mom telling me she was watching the combat jiu-jitsu that Nathan, one of the ones that he got second place in, and she was just like, man, this is super fun to watch. She liked it even much better than the UFC because it just wasn't as violent, but she could understand the consequences of the strikes without, you know, seeing somebody get absolutely split open or just completely knocked out. And so it was just like a good, like, not as violent as the UFC, but there still was some consequences to being in bad positions. So the UFC has seen those numbers for a few years, and now they're like, look, we wanted to get in with ADCC. I talked about this last time. For whatever reason, Mo, Dana did not work out. They don't like each other anymore. Dana wants to destroy ADCC, so they've started Fight Pass Invitational. And I got to say, the last few Fight Pass Invitationals have been phenomenal. And there's a couple of like big reasons. Recently, Gordon Ryan has stepped on the mic, and he has been doing commentary for Fight Pass Invitational. And I wonder how Flo feels about that, because Gordon Ryan was their cash cow. Gordon Ryan was the guy that they gave $1 million contract to, and he only did one match on that contract. And so I wonder how it feels to see him go and do commentary for their biggest rival, and one that they, I'm sure, feel a lot of pressure. And I'm sure there's a lot of fear onto just like what the future of grappling looks like when it's involved with the UFC. But Gordon has been absolutely phenomenal, particularly this last time. This last Fight Pass Invitational, Gordon was probably the best commentator I have heard. And that's saying a lot, because I think there's a couple of really good ones. Sean Williams, to me, was the gold standard for a while, but I feel like the last couple times, like the last few years, Sean's been falling off. Now, I don't know if it's just he's not in tune with the modern game, or I don't know. I just feel like he hasn't been very good. I've been preferring, obviously, I think Brandon's commentary is phenomenal, but what Gordon brought to that table, it's like having the ex Hall of Famer jumping into the CBS broadcast to do Sunday Night Football, and he's just breaking things down on a completely different level. a level that black belts can learn from, but also somebody that doesn't even really know the sport can start to understand what's happening. And he, if he is a mainstay on that commentary team, he, TJ, and Brandon, I thought were just phenomenal together. Brandon was great. TJ's great. You know, I was telling you guys, I thought Brandon was slightly off on the PGF commentary week. I just think he had so much going on. But, man, Brandon, while I thought he was maybe like, I'd probably give him a B performance for the PGF week, he was an A. Like, he, TJ, and Gordon were, again, phenomenal and just made the viewing experience so much better. Just remind you, like, when there's really good commentary, it can transcend an event. The UFC is also doing something very, very interesting with their grappling shows. And I didn't understand this tactic in the beginning. Their first couple of shows was all about the big guys. They were doing these absolute tournaments. Nicky Rod, I think, won the first one. I can't remember if he or Mason won the first or second. But anyways, they did two absolute tournaments. Mason won one. Nicky Rod won the other. All of their main events have been big guys. And I was like, look, big guys are boring. Why are they showcasing the big guys? Why aren't they trying to bring in the small guys? But these last couple shows have shown me, no, the big guys can be super, super entertaining. If you pay them enough and if you give them enough motivation, they can be very exciting. And again, I don't know what they're telling these guys backstage or what they're paying them or what the deal is, but I mean, Nicky Rod versus Mason Fowler, the main event of this last Fight Pass Invitational, I thought was phenomenal. I thought both guys looked great. The action was very, very entertaining. Super intriguing battle between Mason's guard and Nicky Rod's passing. Nicky Rod ends up getting a 6-0 victory, but he clearly is one of the top two or three grapplers in the world right now. It's Marigali and Nicky Rod. Those are the two. Now, Craig, Gordon, those guys, I don't think they compete enough, and they're not entering enough of these type of tournaments to be considered. I mean, Gordon's kind of half retired. Craig is really just doing matches that make sense for him, but he's not taking on the toughest challenges, where Nicky Rod and Marigali, they're fighting the best of the best. What Marigali's done recently is just otherworldly. It's Gordon Ryan-esque. And then Nicky Rod is also like his accolades the past couple years. It's just him and Marigali in my mind. Now, it leaves a very interesting matchup, right? Because Mason Fowler was the guy, he had just never had a match with Marigali. He hadn't had a match with Nicky Rod, and he hadn't had a match with Gordon. And so a lot of people were wanting to see him versus Gordon Ryan. Well, that was set up. Gordon pulled out. But people were kind of like, look, Mason Fowler's the guy to beat Gordon. Or at least, let's give him a shot. He hasn't had his chance yet. He's an athlete that's won a lot, has competed very, very well in a bunch of different rule sets. And for Nicky Rod and him to have a match, it kind of just eliminated Mason. And if Flo now wants to go, hey, Mason versus Gordon, it's just less interesting. I'm going to be really fascinated to see which promotion puts on Marigali versus Nicky Rod. Who can get that done? Because that is the best match to make in the sport right now. But like I said, the UFC, I didn't understand, like, why are the big guys? But they're trying to show their consumers and the people that mainly watch other combat sports, like, no, we're bringing the best pound for pound. We're not trying to see these small guys who play super complex games, you know. Like, they haven't brought in anyone. I don't think they've had any matches with males under 170 pounds, which is just the complete opposite of most of the WNO cards. I mean, the WNO guys are mostly showcasing, I mean, they're showcasing all weight classes, but there's always somebody, there's always a couple of matches under 170 pounds. And a lot of people, a lot of jiu-jitsu dorks are like, no, those are the best matches. But I'm starting to see like, no, the big guy jiu-jitsu is just easier to understand. They're not doing all the crazy guards. They're not playing leg spaghetti. It just comes down to good old-fashioned, can I get you down? Can I pin you? And once I do and you get tired, you make a mistake and the choke is right there, right behind that, right? And so I'm like, man, this is kind of genius. You know, they're showing the biggest, baddest, scariest guys. And like, no, these are our stars. You can have all these 5'5" Mikey Musumeci, 145-pound dudes. We want the biggest, baddest grapplers. And we're going to build our grappling brand on that. We're going to make stars of the big guys, and we're going to have, if you want to consider yourself the best, I think they're just kind of putting it in our minds right now. No, you want to be the best, you need to be the UFC Fight Pass champion. Now, I'll be interested to see how Fight Pass starts incorporating like the PGF with the season long. Maybe that's their like, hey, PGF champion at 205 is the UFC grappling world champion. I could see something like that. Because that's the other thing, or one thing I would say about them is they haven't really capitalized on EBI and CJJ. I don't think they've ever pushed like, oh, you're the EBI champion. Well, you're the UFC grappling champion. You know, the moment they do that, it will give so much more weight to the people. Like if I could say, hey, I'm the UFC's grappling champion. Like, no, I don't do MMA, but I do an aspect of combat sports. I'm a professional grappler and I am the UFC's champion. That to me already, that gives way more credit than if somebody's like, I'm an IBJJF, just like an average person. Like, I've never heard of the IBJJF. Most people, 99.9% of the population has never heard of that. Millions of more people have watched a UFC event. So when you go, oh, you know the UFC? Well, I'm their grappling champion. I'm Flo's W. Nobody knows what Flow grappling is. But the UFC, they can use their brand and their billions and billions of dollars to make these guys star. And if they go, hey, Nicky Rod is the UFC's grappling champion, then people are going to go, no. Well, Nicky Rod's he's the biggest promotions grappling. Like, that's the world champion. Guys, this is interesting. This is one of the most important things when we're talking about how good a school is. And I think it's really important as like for your students and as a practitioner. And one of the things I love hearing about as a coach is anytime you do send off one of your warriors and they go visit another clan, another warrior clan, and they come back and they're like, oh man, I smoked that school. I'm a blue belt. I beat a bunch of the purple belts. I was competitive with the brown belts. And people were asked, like, thought I was a belt rank or even two belt ranks higher than I actually was. It's funny. You go visit another school, one of the first questions you're going to get from every single person, you're going to go, hey, I'm so-and-so. I'm just visiting. And they're going to go, oh, hey, it's nice to meet you. How long have you been training? What's your belt rank? Do you train gi or no gi? Like, people are trying to get as much information as possible from you. And a lot of people, after you roll, right, so you just crush a dude, they're going to go, oh, well, what belt rank are you? I thought you were a purple. They're always going to put you at least to their belt level if you beat them, or especially, hey, I thought you were higher. And it's one of the greatest compliments you can get. And it can give an athlete or a practitioner so much confidence when you go and somebody's like, you know, you're a blue belt and you roll with a purple belt and you tap them twice and they go, oh man, I thought you were a brown belt. You talk about being on cloud nine. It is a phenomenal feeling. And it was one of the biggest parts of my development at blue and purple belt was, I mean, I visited tons. I mean, I've written down, there was a time that I wrote down all the schools that I visited or that I remembered that I visited. And it was over 50 schools. Like, I've been to a lot of different jiu-jitsu gyms, especially at blue, purple, and brown belt. And I got this all the time. You know, guys would just be like, man, you're really good, or you're really talented, or man, I can't believe you're just this rank. I thought you were much better than that. Or you've only been training this long. I thought you'd been training 10 years, stuff like that. And number one, it gives you confidence in the gym you're at, in your instructors, and just the training you're doing. But number two, it's just, it gives you this sense of accomplishment And it's like one of those things where you know that you've earned it. You know, it's real. It's not somebody just going, hey, man, like, think your haircut looks nice today. It's like, no, you went out there and you competed, because when you go visit another place, people treat you like competition and they give you competition rounds. And you know, it's almost a fact. It's pretty much a fact. You know it's a fact because you went out there, competed. And now when they're saying these things to you, you know that it's real. You know that it's meant. And getting that feedback, right? Like if your instructor tells you, oh, you're improving, guys will not believe that. Guys and girls will not believe that sometimes. I can't tell you how many times I've had a conversation with one of my students, be like, oh, man, like I think you're improving. And they're like, oh, I don't know. So-and-so's still beating me. Or, I don't know, did you watch me today? And I'm like, yes, help. What do you think? Why do you think I'm saying this? I think you've improved. But they just thought, oh, well, that's what you're supposed to say. But when you go and you visit another warring clan, they've got no reason to be not. They've got no reason to tell you that you're good. And especially after you've beat them up, they've got no reason to lie to you. They're just like, oh, man, like, you're amazing. And so it's just that truth that even like your instructor can't give you, or even your training partners, because you can always go, well, they're my friends, or they're just trying to boost me up. But when you go to a random place and they say that, it's like, oh, no, I mean, maybe I am pretty good. And so we've had a couple of guys recently go and train at a couple of different spots, some 10th Planet schools, others just gi schools. One or two of them have been to pretty big schools. The others, you know, just random schools in smaller cities. But they've all come back, and I've just seen this glow about them when they're talking. I've seen this glow, and I can tell, like, no. They're learning the truth. Like, they know how much they've improved, and they know how good they're getting. And it's hard to find that, especially if you don't want to go out and compete, you don't want to go spend your Saturday. But I'm telling you, just find a time to go and travel and train at another place. Go pick out a school on your next vacation. Go to a spot that's maybe an hour away from your gym. Just call it, hey, can I come and drop by? And go test yourself out. And if you're feeling, especially if you're training at a really good gym where you feel like, man, our guys, like, they compete really well, MMA, jiu-jitsu, and all of that, well, go visit some other place and see how well you do there. And I think you'll be shocked, especially, again, if you're training at a really good place, like how well you do. And it'll make you go, okay, maybe I'm actually a lot better at this than I think I am. One of the things I tell my guys is confidence to me is super important. I would rather somebody be delusional about their skills. I'd rather hear a blue belt go, I think I could hang with Gordon for a couple of minutes than somebody that's like, oh, I know I suck. And so anything you can do to find confidence and just give you, especially true confidence, like obviously I'd rather you have delusional self-confidence in the beginning, like fake it till you make it. But when you can go get real feels, like real, like, hey, go to playing at this place for 3 days. And now here's the biggest difference between this and competition. Well, somebody would go, well, just go compete. The thing about competing is if you lose your first match, you don't get another chance. But if you go train for a place for a couple of days, you can go get 15, 20 rounds in. And so if you have a poor performance in your first, or, you know, first round, let's say you're rolling with just the mat enforcer or one of their best guys, and they kind of beat you up a little bit. Well, if you just walked away from that, you might go, oh, I suck. But if you then get to go with, hey, I'm going to go with one of their blue belts. I'm going to go with somebody that has been training a little bit longer than me. I'm going to go roll with this guy and this girl and that girl. You can get a really good sample size, and everybody, you're going to find a highlight in there, right? Now, the flip side of this is if you go to a place and you get absolutely crushed, it provides a different feedback. And it lets you know that maybe you haven't been training as hard as you think you have, or maybe your school's not as good as you think it is. Maybe you're not being intentional with your training. Maybe something needs to change, though. And I always tell guys this, like if you ever go to a place, like our competitor, you ever go to a place and they're, you know, you're a purple belt and their blue belts are beating you up, well, yeah, you should have questions about what you're doing at 10th Planet Decatur. You should consider, hey, like, I'm really serious about this. Maybe I should move to a new gym. You should have those thoughts. I want you, like, and I want you to tell me so I can think about how we can improve. So important. Just being honest with yourself and going have experiences like that where it's like, hey, I'm going to go to visit another gym. I'm either going to come back with tons of confidence and know that, like, hey, my school's about it. And the future's bright and I'm really proud of where I'm at. Or you go, I don't know. Either I need to change my training or I need to change spots. Either way, it is a valuable, valuable experience and one that I highly recommend all of you have a bunch of times throughout your jiu-jitsu journey. Until next time, guys, I love and appreciate you. That Patreon coming out sometime next week. I will give you more information in a few days. Thanks for all the support. Peace.